WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
I'm going to need you to sign these release forms.
Release forms?
Well, yes, you're not officially working for the Ministry of Defence, and these forms indemnify the Ministry against any mishaps that may occur in the line of duty.
Mishaps? But isn't that what being an international man of mystery is all about? Okay, name. Austin Danger Powers. Sex? Yes, please. How does a hot chick like you end up working at the Ministry of Defence?
Oh, well, I went to Oxford, where I excelled in several subjects, but I ended up specialising in foreign languages. You know, I really wanted to travel. You know, sort of see the world.
That's fascinating, Vanessa. Listen, why don't we go in the back and shag?
What?
I've been frozen for 30 years. I've got to see if my bits and pieces are still working.
Excuse me?
My wedding tackle.
I'm sorry.
My meat and two veg, my twig and berries. Hello, lads.
Oh, no, Mr. Powers, please.
Austin Powers is back in the sequel, The Spy Who Shagged Me, which opened today. On this archive edition of Fresh Air, we have an interview with Mike Myers. He produced, wrote, and stars in the Austin Powers films, which spoof the sexed-up spy films and mod fashions of the 60s. Myers plays both Austin Powers and arch-villain Dr. Evil. I spoke with Myers in 1990 when he was the newest and youngest cast member on Saturday Night Live. He was already well-known for his character Dieter, the pretentious host of Sprockets, a postmodern culture show on West German TV. And he was best known for Wayne's World, the sketches in which he and Dana Carvey played the loud, obnoxious teenaged hosts of a cable TV access show. When we spoke, Myers had just debuted a new character, middle-aged man, a paunchy superhero who dispenses advice to younger people like this couple in bed.
This has never happened to me, I swear.
It's all right. It's all right.
I just lost it.
Well, was it me? Did I do it wrong?
No. I don't know what happened.
Maybe I can help.
Who are you?
I'm middle-aged man. Now, what's the trouble?
Well, see, he just had a problem with the, you know...
Will you shut up?
What was it? Too soon or not at all? Ha ha! Just a quip. It could be stress or cheap liquor. Tell me, have you injured yourself by doing any heavy lifting?
Well, I was putting up some aluminum siding.
Aha! You realize that reduces the value of your home.
Really? Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I'm a middle-aged man.
You started a new character on the last Saturday Night Live, middle-aged man. Who were you thinking of?
I was thinking of myself, as I always do. That sounds awful. No, I was just, I was doing, there was a scene the week previous called The Award Show, which didn't make it to air, and I had to play Sir Richard Attenborough. So the hair and glasses is for Sir Richard and the teeth, too, is for Sir Richard Attenborough. And last week, on the Friday before the show, I just happened to be changing out of my costume, and I've noticed that since I've gotten on the show, as with everybody who's been on the show, I put on 15 pounds, and I have what we call in Canada a Molson muscle. I'm starting to get a gut. So it was like, oh no, I'm looking at my gut. And then I just thought of, this is what I'm going to look like when I'm middle-aged. I mean, it's not going to be that terrible. I'm going to know how escrow works. And then that amused me, and I thought, well, that could be a superpower. And then it just went from there.
Let's get to Wayne's World. This is one of your most popular characters. Wayne hosts an access cable TV show in Aurora, Illinois. He's a teenager who's really into heavy metal. Describe the character some more.
Well, Wayne is a compilation or a distillation of everybody I knew growing up in the suburbs of Toronto. It's a sort of adolescent, suburban, heavy metal experience. And so I thought, what if my character Wayne, who I did at Second City in Toronto and Second City in Chicago, had his own cable access show. Hopefully it would be how I was when I was a kid, which is, God, it would be great to have my own show in my basement. And then I'd have anybody I wanted on to be on. And it's completely, it makes no attempts to be universal. It's just totally about his basement and his world.
All right, welcome to Wayne's World. Here's your host, Wayne Campbell.
Party! Woo! Party hardy! Woo! It's Friday, it's 10:30, it's time to party. I'm your excellent host, Wayne Campbell. With me, as always, is Garth.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
Okay, before we bring out our first guest, we'd like to introduce our newest feature. It's called Movie World with Wayne and Garth.
Movie World! Movie World! With Wayne and Garth! Let's
Woo! All right, let's take a look at the movies, all right? The first movie is Back to the Future 2, starring Michael J. Fox. I liked it, Garth.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Okay, let's move on.
Did you ever talk in the kind of teen slang that Wayne is always coming
up
with?
Yeah, I did. I went through a lot of adolescent phases. I went through a heavy metal phase, and then I went to England in 1977 just as punk was big. I went through a punk phase. Then I saw the movie Quadrophenia. Did you ever see that with The Who?
Yeah,
and I went through a mod phase. There's a ton of mods in Toronto. It would be like, you know, there'd be mod bars. People would actually go out and buy Vespas and stuff. And then I got hired at Second City. By that time, I just turned 19, so I was out of my adolescent thing. Although when I got hired at Second City, I had really short hair and a long tail down my back.
So do you keep your ears open for teenagers to hear what kind of language is? Because language changes so quickly.
Yeah, it does. But I'm surprised that it doesn't change all that much.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be an adolescent accent, which is weird, that people tend to grow out of, or socialized out of. And I was surprised at how homogenous to North America it is.
Did you have it?
Yeah, it would be like, yeah, I don't know what you mean. Hey, back off. Don't hassle me, man. It would be like that. I really like that guy, you know? And it's strange, too, because people who are in the arts had the same type of accent in Toronto, too. It's just, I really like that painting. I really thought it was great. I like his use of negative space. You want a cappuccino? I really like it there.
This is the roots of Dieter, right?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. They're all related. It's all...
See, yeah,
what
you,
tribe? It's tribes, you know,
we just found... I couldn't believe that there'd be any kind of link between Wayne and Dieter, but I guess you just...
Well, it was a friend of mine in Toronto who never actually got to be an artist, but did everything around art. Like, he was interested in photography, but he ended up painting backgrounds, you know, like the splotches of paint. And he was interested in being a filmmaker, but he got into colorizing and somehow managed to justify... colorizing, even though it's sort of impolitic in the art world.
For our listeners who haven't seen Sprockets, which features your character, Dieter, would you describe it for us?
Dieter was a young artist from Stuttgart who came to Toronto. He's an actual person.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, and he was a waiter in Toronto, and he would, like, take your order and say, what would you like? And then you would start to talk, and if it was a hot dog or something... banal, he would say, your order has become tiresome. I'm going away now. And if his favorite tune came on, it would be like, yes, and would you like hold on, my favorite song? And he would go up and dance. And then you'd wait for hours. But he was fascinated with obscure Americana, like F Troop and hockey cards. He loved hockey. That was our main thing that I thought I could talk to this person. Was he loved hockey, and I thought it was amazing. And he also loved to touch monkeys.
Oh.
And that's actually true because he took a textures course in Stuttgart. And he had to touch tapioca, styrofoam, and monkeys. And it was that time that I knew that I loved to touch monkeys.
See, for our listeners who haven't seen Sprockets, there's always a sequence in Sprockets where he says...
Would you like to touch my monkey?
Yeah, I could never figure out where that was from.
It's just because he took a textures course. And, you know, I love textures. Your eyebrows are bizarre. Can I touch them? You know, he'd say things like that.
Yeah, you have such a great way in that show of intellectualizing everything that's fun or pop or...
With Dieter.
With Dieter, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Any sort of pretentious or pseudo-pretentious idea I ever had, I can sort of stick it into Dieter and Dieter can do it. And it's like, it's not me, it's this guy.
That was Vietnam by Schreibmaschine. And now's the time for Rate a Record. What is your name?
My name is Gerhard Müller.
My name is Elsa Bauer.
And what gymnasia do you go to?
We go to the Goethe-Gymnasia in Garmisch-Partenkirchen.
Your hair is grotesque. What did you think of the song on a scale of 1 to 14?
It was hellish yet exquisite. I give it a 9 out of 14.
I thought it was bourgeois and banal. I give it a negative 3 out of 14, and I thought lyrically it had...
Your story has become tiresome. Sadly, there are no integers on this scale, so your gangly adolescent attempt to be clever has been futile.
Well then, Dieter, what did you think of the song?
It had a good beat and it was easy to dance to. I gave it a 14. This next song is called Darwin's Burden by the Obelisks.
So this waiter, Dieter, upon whom you model the character, does he know that this is an homage to him?
I don't think he does. And, well, somebody told me he went back to Germany for a bit. His visa had expired. And then somebody told me he moved to Australia, which makes total sense. So I'm sure it'll get back to him, but he's far too cool to ever call me and say, I understand you are doing me. You know, it would be just too not cool.
You did commercials as a kid?
Yeah.
What kinds of commercials?
I used to actually have my resume memorized. It was like Kit Kat, Applejack, Sunlight, BC Hydro, Datsun, Kmart shoes, Wrigley Spearmint gum. Just anything where they needed a little red-headed kid. You know, gee, Mom, this is the best. That was me. And then I went through my punk phase, and I couldn't get cast for my life because I had really short hair and T-shirts that said Anarchy in the UK. And they wanted, like, a little kid who plays basketball. And I'd be like, yeah, forget it. Basketball's bourgeois. So I stopped doing that.
So but how old were you when you stopped?
My last commercial, I was 17, and I haven't done one since.
Well, that's pretty old, actually.
Yeah.
I just expected you were doing it for baby food or something when you were really young.
No, I started when I was 8. And I did a dancing commercial.
Oh, great.
For
with Datsun. Tap shoes and everything?
No, it was jazz dancing, which is even more a secret. Sort of dancing, solid gold type dancing that nobody really should see. And that's what I was doing.
That's the corniest kind of dancing, the kind of interpretive dancing
no, there's
on
cornier.
Commercials. Yeah.
No, there's cornier dancing, and that's the reason I got into dancing was there's a show on Canadian TV called The Pig and Whistle, which was a mock pub show, British pub show for British expatriates who were like really homesick. And it was like, come in to the Pig and Whistle, come in and have a laugh. And then they had these cockney like Mary Poppins dancers, you know, with the kerchiefs tied around their neck and flat caps. And a lot of posing and a lot of knee slapping. Knees up, Mother Brown. Knees up, Mother Brown. And I thought, now I was 4, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Come a long way, haven't
well,
you?
Well, I've come a long way since The Pig and Whistle.
So that's how you started doing commercials?
Yeah.
The name of the psychotic killer who escapes from the institution in Halloween is Michael Myers.
Yes.
Did you hear about this a lot when the movie came out?
Yeah, whenever I go to cash a check, it's Michael Myers, the killer. Just don't kill me. Honestly, I'll cash the check. And I have to give them one of those, that's funny, I never get that, laughs. That's great, I never get that. That's great.
Mike Myers, recorded in 1990, from the soundtrack of his new film, The Spy Who Shagged Me, here's Mike Myers rapping.
From the moment I heard Frau say I had a clone, I knew that I'd be safe because I'd never be alone. An evil doctor shouldn't speak aloud about his feelings. My hurt and my pain don't make me too appealing. I'd hope Scott would look up to me, run the business of the family, head an evil empire just like his dear old dad, give him my love and the things I never had. Scott would think I was a cool guy, return the love I have, make me want to cry, be evil, but have my feelings too. Changed my life with Oprah and Maya Angelou. But Scott rejected me. C'est la vie. Life is cruel, treats you unfairly. Even so, a God there must be. Mini me, you complete me.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Just me and you. Getting jiggy with it.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
This is Fresh Air.